So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
So my mother was always telling me, she's like, you got to get out of this town. You got to get it. You know, once it was like 1950s, Buffalo was on a downward trend. And it was funny in that recession.
I think it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's the greatest that made me laugh in 2008 when the rest of the world had that economic real estate debacle. Buffalo didn't even feel it.
Right. I mean, it was already there. You can't go lower than dirt. Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the premier podcast for people what want to make more sales. This is about selling. This is about personal development. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone?
How are you doing this? What the heck morning is it here?
I don't know what day it is today, but you know what? It is a great day because every day is a great day.
That's exactly correct.
We are glad to be going daily.
Oh, yeah, we are. This is it's the Sell or Die podcast and on the Sell or Die Network, and we are a daily show now.
That's right.
And we are popping it. I mean, people are downloading this thing like candy.
That's right. And this is so cool. We keep getting these five-star reviews and reading them on the show. I'm about to read one from M. Vass. But if you want to write a five-star review, we will read yours too.
So, and just put it up on iTunes.
Yeah, that's right. So here's what M. Vass writes. I have read Jeffrey's books and have followed him online for years. For many years, starting my Tuesday without reading Sales Caffeine made the day incomplete. I listen to Sell or Die every day between calls. I can think of no better way to prepare for a client meeting than tipping off with Jeffrey and Jennifer's no nonsense, get off your rear because you are responsible for you. Motivational advice. Woo! Want to get better at what you do? Then subscribe to Sell or Die and go out and make things happen. Wow. M. Vass, thank you. That's
rocks. Really, yeah, that's really
I
nice.
Know. Isn't that so cool?
Jen, I don't know what to say about it. They're very humbling. People are getting, they're telling both their friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a lot of referrals. We're now over 500 people in the Facebook group.
Oh, close to 500. Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you guys go on Facebook and just sign up?
Yeah, and
it's a Sell or Die podcast.
But you guys are the diehards. You guys are the reason we are doing this every single day now, and we want to bring you the best of the best guests. So please make sure to give us a five-star review on iTunes.
Do we have a bullshit button? I'm calling bullshit on that. You're part of the reason that we do this. The other reason we do this is because we get our name out into the marketplace as market leaders. People call us up on the phone and love us. And as a result of it, like, well, I'm going to publish a new book, the Napoleon Hill, A Truthful Living Book. And the thousands of people that are playing with this, they'll go buy a book. And
right,
thank you very much.
But we wouldn't do this without our diehards.
The reason
That's
we
all
do
I'm
this
saying.
Is for you to buy a book.
No, the reason we do this is to help you guys. Well, maybe our reasons are different.
Oh, okay, well,
Jeffrey, you do not do this to sell shit.
I
mean, that is a nice byproduct, okay?
I agree.
That is a great byproduct. And we couldn't do this if we didn't sell shit because of it, okay? That's real. But I think if you're like me, and I think you are like me because I know you pretty well, you do this because you genuinely love helping people.
That's true. That's very true. And I enjoy being in the studio with Nada and Doug and Jen. It's a fun time. We get yelled at afterwards for all the shit we did wrong. But hey, that's part
no,
of learning.
It's constructive feedback.
Yeah, that's what it is. I love constructive feedback.
Come on. All right. Let's talk about who's coming up on our show because we have an amazing guest today. We have Andrew Krasinski. He's a banking expert.
Hey, diehards, listen up here for a second. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. It is the banking capital of the East other than New York City. Banks abound here. And you have no idea what it's like to walk down the street. There's more banks than churches in Charlotte. And we have a situation.
Is that even possible? There's so many churches.
Well, let's put it this way. They're both tied for first. And I'd rather go to the bank because you can go in the vault and they got money there. But
no, churches do too.
That's true. That's true. They got that collection plate thing going. But the challenge for us is we wanted a banker to talk to diehards about money. And we wanted a banker to come, and we got a vice president of a major bank to come in and talk to our people about how they can get into a bank and get a loan and to talk about all the assets, what they have to do to put their assets together, to put their liabilities together and start a business or keep their business going. It's hard to get a loan. Mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gone
Well, if you have my banker, it's not that hard to get a loan.
Well, actually. No, if you have your financial backing, it's not that hard to get a loan. But
I don't know. Darren is pretty awesome.
Bankers lend money to people that don't need it. Oh. If you need money, you're in deep shit and short cotton in this world. But in spite of that, I told my old bank to put a billboard up that in right by the airport as people are driving in and out of the city, and it says, if you're a small business person and you don't think you can get a loan, remember, we loaned money to Gittimer.
How inspirational.
They wouldn't do it.
All right. So Andrew is going to give us a report on what the banks are looking like right now.
Yep.
Why we might be on a path for a 10-year economic boom. What, what?
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to give tips to small business owners to take advantage of the economic boom.
And listen, he's in the heart of it. He's in the money part of it. Mm-hmm. So, Jen, how's your money doing? I mean, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I've had a pretty fun week, actually. I did all these photographs yesterday with Julia Fay, and she's this awesome photographer who's based in Charlotte. You can follow her on Instagram, Julia Fay Photographer, I think. Or photography, one of the two. But I'm going to have all these cool pictures for my brand, and I even made you pose in some of them.
Yeah, I'm in the pictures, the crew, the staff.
Yep, we got
if you ever
want
to see what our guys look like, even Nada is in the photograph.
Even the dogs.
Yeah, the dogs are in the photograph.
The dogs are in the photos, yeah.
No, Gabrielle, sorry. You'll have to
go. Yeah, she was at school. She was a little busy taking fourth grade classes that she didn't want to be taking.
But Nada, Steve, Doug.
Yes.
Alex gets out of a sick bed to come to do the photos because he certainly doesn't want to be omitted. But the bottom line was, it was a great day.
Yeah,
it was a fun day.
We have a big team. We had Adrian, Mary, Lisa, Erica.
Yeah.
I mean, so everyone but Stacey was there.
So this morning, we got some economic news that the economy's doing better than it has been in a long, long time. And my question to you diehards is, how the hell are you taking advantage of it? What are you doing to bunk in right now? Or do you think, oh, my sales are up, they're always going to be up? Why are you not storing nuts for the winter? Why are you not doing your absolute best to be able to make something happen for yourself? And that's the challenge that I'm throwing down the gauntlet for today. And I think we're going to talk about that more and more as time goes on, because salespeople need to be encouraged or inspired on a daily basis to get out there and do more. Because when they make one sale, they tend to slack off. That's been my finding over the years.
Make a sale, slack off, then realize you need more money, more commissions, go work hard to make another sale.
Right.
Do not get into that. That's like the worst hamster wheel on the planet. Oh.
And the easiest sale to make is the one right after you just made one.
That's right.
What's the best hamster wheel on the planet? If that's the worst hamster wheel.
Use that momentum to keep creating more sales. So you're in this continuous, perpetual, boom, 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 sale, 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 sale. That's what you have to do.
For those of you not watching, Jen was just doing the mouse chasing.
The international hand sign for hamster wheel.
Right, exactly. I didn't know there was one until just now.
I think we just created one.
So if you you have to come
the
to Charlotte.
Hamster wheel of sales.
Yeah. Come to Chicago and ask Jen to do it there. The The seminar in Chicago actually is selling pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's cgittimer.com/Chicago, and all of the pre-sale tickets are sold out.
Yep.
For both sales managers and sales leaders, but there are still tickets available. All you need to do is go to cgittimer.com/Chicago and get yours today.
And they will be, it's going to be.
We want to meet you.
And we're going to do a live podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. All right, so let's get to the interview.
Who?
Andrew Krasinski.
Yeah, say that three times real fast.
He
happens to be a friend of ours. He's a really, really nice person. He's a very knowledgeable person. He's a upcoming banker in the city of Charlotte, the banking capital, as I stated earlier.
Let's get to it.
So I'm here today with Andrew Krasinski, who is a Charlottean for about 20 years now. Is that fair to say?
That's correct.
He still has all of his hair. It's nice and curly. He looks very pretty. He looks kind of bankery. What the hell do you do?
I'm a damn banker,
unfortunately. Oh, there you go. And one of the most interesting things about bankers is they're salespeople in disguise, aren't they?
Yes, that's correct. They come off as
bankers,
but really, as some banks have been out in the news and being publicized for, there's a lot of pressure.
We don't want to mention any names.
No,
like Wells Fargo, correct?
No, not that name or any others.
Yeah. Wells Fargo is set back because of their standards, because of their sales practices. I think they set back ethics in selling about 100 years. I'm not sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, where people come.
And now, have you seen their new commercial thing? We used to be shitty, but now we're good again. Like, seriously? What kind of crap is that? Like, I'm not forgetting that quickly, pal.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I think they lost, first of all, they lost all of their goodwill.
Right.
You know, they've been a bank for 150 years, and they lost all of their goodwill.
That's the way trust works, right?
That's how
it goes.
Get,
you get a lot up front.
Well, you open up 2 million fake accounts, and all of a sudden, people don't trust you anymore.
Right.
Like, geez, what a surprise. I think that they're... leadership was despicable, and I think that they should have been flogged publicly and taken, and their money taken away. They left with tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, seriously? What's that about?
It's amazing that the thing went on. I was in banking early in 98, and I remember as a young sales employee, banker in a branch, asking a leader, do the goals really go up every year? Every year that they go up, that doesn't seem like it's possible. And I remember the lead. I remember asking that question. I remember the leader saying to me, goals always go up.
Right. They have a new thing. We're going to increase sales by 11.5%.
Right.
Where do they get that number?
I always wonder.
They pull
with
it
all the-
out of their ass.
Well, that's the thing. I'm with you. No. I always wonder with all these fancy suits and suits behind suits that there'd be some complex math algorithm based upon the Earth's gravitational pull and geographic areas and individual knowledge and the economy that they come up with. Here's your goal. No, we're going to grow 10%.
So one of my customers is Northern Trust in Chicago. They're a very, very highfalutin bank. And I asked my client, I said, do you guys like make love with your suits on? And he said, well, we do, but we throw our tie around backwards.
I haven't tried that one.
But the challenge is that they have to normalize themselves. I mean, this is a friendly city. Why don't they just be – people should look like you, shouldn't they? Just be a normal kind of person. And really, I want a bank loan. I don't want to know that you have checking accounts and that you have certificates of deposit that pay no interest or you have the deposit boxes. I want money. Give me money.
I always find that's the gap, and I think that's a lot to do with the training in financial institutions because there's so much regulation. They're teaching from the perspective of how can we teach you about our product and how can we teach you to underwrite our product for our safety versus teaching you how to communicate with the client, the language.
Well, keep in mind that the client finds you for the most part. They need money. And instead of the client rejecting you, you reject the client. That's what happens for the most part. Like, oh, I'm sorry, we couldn't make the loan. What do you mean you couldn't make the loan? Tell me how. Well, you know, your credit was
that's a problem.
You missed a payment 2 Julys ago.
Yeah, I always ask people if they've been – the decline of the loan isn't as important as what can I do if I want the loan. You as a business owner, you have a decision.
How do I get it? You know me personally.
Right.
I applied to the old Yadkin Bank.
Right.
Got turned down for a loan they should have given me. Waited a year. Had to go get other money. And then finally they said yes. A year later, same business, same guy, same everything.
Yeah, I was on the other side of that equation trying to help them. I wasn't your banker, but I just knew your reputation, so I wanted to get to meet you and was fortunate to do so. But I was explaining to them, they were looking at entry points. They were looking at, well, and that's a problem with banks. They look at everything in arrears versus future. And when you came to them for a loan, you, I think, had another book deal coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The economy was skyrocketing because it was after that kind of 2008 recession. So it's like, okay, you're public speaking.
I'm ready.
You're gonna come out, you know, to the moon.
Yep.
And they're like, well, what about? It's like, no. This what guy happened has been 3 years ago? Forever.
Like, right. Dude, I've been here for 25 years.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, if you go to, and this is just in passing for anyone who's interested in finance. If you go to a bank and get an SBA loan, they will only lend you on past performance. If you go to an SBA lender, they will lend to you on future promise. That's a big one because we just got an SBA loan and we didn't go to a bank.
Right. So there's a lot of confusion bank,
same,
out there.
Same company, same financial statement. One guy said yes, one guy said no.
Right.
Like, think about it.
The sad thing is a lot of bankers, if they should have been able to direct you there in the first place, right? That's where I always find—
Very true. Yeah,
that's what always bothers me. Help people. Give them knowledge because you as a CEO, you're doing the public speaking. You're shaking hands, kissing babies. But you need information, not banker jargon, garbage language that you don't understand. But exactly. Hey, where can I go?
And if they were cool, the new bank that emerged could have said, hey, you want to do our training for our sales guys?
Yes.
You know, we'll help you in this regard. You do our thing. I'm like, cool. I'm in.
Right.
But no, banks are incestuous.
Yes.
They want their own people to train their own people to be boring.
Right.
And they have lost their best employees. The bank, my old bank, lost their best employees, almost every one of them.
Yeah. I know a bunch of them.
Yeah. It's sad. And only because they didn't do the right thing, they didn't say the right thing, they didn't act the right way, they were too busy covering their asses and their desks to help customers win.
Correct.
Now, they're going to win. They're going to make money. They're, you know, they have their formula.
Because of fear. It's playing defense versus offense. So what they're looking at, what I mean by that is they're looking at, they have regulators. If they do a loan for a client, they have regulators looking at the files that they've done and then scrutinizing them.
Right.
And then they have their bosses looking at why you do it and scrutinize. There's a lot of punishment if you do something incorrect. And there's the side of the reward is not that great. Just get me more.
Let me share this with you, Andrew, just so we understand each other. I'm funded now.
I know that.
I have no debt now or reasonably no debt now other than the bank or the near bank.
Right.
I'm going to give you a chance to give me more money.
All right.
And it's
I appreciate that.
I only need like $500,000.
All right.
And I'll be a great repayer. I can promise you
that. I brought my big checkbook, so I'll get that to you
right
now.
One T Gittimer, please. Yeah. But this is the challenge. There's so much going on right now in the economy. We're in for in my opinion, at least a 10-year boom.
From right now.
From right now.
You don't think after the last 100 years there's been a recession every 8 to 10 years. You think we're going to go for another 10 with a boom?
Without a doubt.
I love that.
The economy is rolling right now. For whatever you think about the President of the United States, that's your opinion. But you can't deny the economy is at 3%, and it's never been, for the last 8 years, it's been at 1%.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that as an economic indicator. I'm also looking at our trade policies and what happens. I'm looking at corporate profits going up and people celebrating those profits in every city in the country. My phone is ringing off the hook with customers that want to train online, that want to have speeches done, that want to people want to come to my public events now. And you're gonna see an uptick.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's a great thought. Because assuming that the 8 to 10 year debacle recession always hits also makes the assumption that we never learn, and the human species continues to learn and evolve. So even banks,
either we're by not book making or by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, right. So we're not going to make the same mistakes. So potentially, yes. At one point, it's going to go on. I mean, that's how records get set. Right. So we could go on for another time.
Look at the stock market. How's it doing right now?
Fantastic. I
mean, yeah, right. It's volatile. It goes up and down.
It's volatile.
But it's up.
Yeah.
And it's up 5,000 points.
Right.
It's literally unbelievable.
You got to be in.
And what happens or what's going to happen is there is an openness and a willingness to risk, to employ more people, to try to get into new markets, to expand your sales capability, to take on new people and new territories.
And entrepreneurs are always on offense, right? So even if there's a recession looming,
always
on offense.
Exactly. Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing. That's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. You name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. So, Andrew, how the hell did you get here? Were you born in Charlotte?
No. So, originally from Western New York, Buffalo, New York. And I laugh when some Charlotte...
when it snowed?
Some Charlatans will say to me, so how's the boroughs? And I'll say, well, how's Pittsburgh? And they'll say, what do you mean by that? And I'll tell them, well, Pittsburgh's 400 miles from Charlotte, and Buffalo's 400 plus miles to New York City. So, how's Pittsburgh?
Exactly.
So, quite a distance.
Yeah. But you had Jim Kelly. You know,
we did. Love Jim Kelly.
Yep. And you had snow.
A ton of it. Loved it.
But you had to come, where you didn't have to shovel your roof.
So my mother was always telling me, she's like, you got to get out of this town. You got to get it. You know, once it was like 1950s, Buffalo was on a downward trend. And it was funny in that recession.
I think it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Was the greatest that made me laugh in 2008 when the rest of the world had that economic real estate debacle. Buffalo didn't even feel it.
Right. You can't, it was already there. You can't go lower than dirt.
Right.
Do they call them wings in Buffalo or buffalo wings in Buffalo?
They call them just wings.
Because you're in Buffalo.
You're in Buffalo.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that for our listening audience. So you got here. What did you do?
So I had graduated with a finance degree and just – from
Niagara?
No, I'm familiar with Niagara, but from St. John Fisher College.
Cool.
And then just wanted to try out. This was a pretty prominent banking town in about 98.
Very prominent.
Yeah, so great.
Still is, by the way.
It is. It's really fabulous here.
New York City? Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, I know, right? So that was my option. I was actually, one of my best friends was living in Brooklyn, and I went there, and I was like, I didn't want to live in the concrete jungle. Came down here, and I was like, man, this is the place.
Yeah, exactly.
So started out just in banking and just got into the heavy sales environment. I didn't know anybody, was just beating the streets. And something you always talk about, Charlatans, is people help you. So I remember this one guy specifically, James Bird. He's still local here in Charlotte. But talking to him and just keep on going down and asking him, tell him I want to get into the banks. And one day he looked at me and he said, I'll get you in Nations Bank. And that was it. Just a guy willing to help me out.
Cool.
Still, I actually just talked to him a month ago.
Those are unbelievable circumstances that happen in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I've never seen happen anywhere else.
I didn't know
anybody
here.
This is a very entrepreneurially forward town, and people are willing to help you without measuring.
You got to be specific with your ask, I tell people. What do you? Yeah. Then the world can get around you. These people in Charlotte can help you, but be specific.
People call me all the time. When I moved to Charlotte, I met Ty Boyd's daughter.
Okay.
And Ty Boyd was the voice of Charlotte, a speaker and whatever. And she said, you got to meet my dad. My dad's Ty Boyd. And I'm like, oh. So she arranges a meeting with me and Ty Boyd. And this guy helped me beyond. He would call me on Sunday night, Gittimer, what are you doing? And I joined the National Speakers Association. I'm like, okay. And I took all my money out of the bank literally and joined this association, but it was the best thing I ever did. And because he was so proactively helpful to me, I'm on Pay It Forward.
Yeah.
I've been on Pay It Forward for a long, long time, and I'm sure you feel the same.
That's this town.
So what do you want to do? Where's your growth pattern now?
For me career-wise? Mm-hmm. So I've had a bunch of different careers. I've jumped in and out of banking, and typically, if you said all your good bankers have left, I've always kind of jumped back in for different reasons. My wife was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, and then she went back to work as a medical sales, so I needed a job more local, so then I went back into banking. But I love business owners. I love commercial lending. I love the networking aspect of it. Not always in love with corporate America. But love that. I mean, it's intriguing, right? You can figure out how things work, who's doing what, building. It's the lifeblood of the city.
You make money and you learn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's my favorite job. I always laugh at sales bosses. They always go, I want to go out on a sales call. It's like, that's the best part. Of course you want to go out on. That's the best part of the job. Right. What I need help is getting leads to get in front of people. You know, that's the date. Once you get out on the date, they've already said yes 10 times. They had to get dressed. People think they're selling when somebody has said, I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to park. I'm going to fight through traffic. I'm going to sit in front of them. And then they say they're a good salesperson. No, you're not.
Yeah, right.
You're not good.
So you have this ability. What do you do to learn? What's your learning curve?
Well, learning to me is critical. And I don't think it's in just one genre or area that you need to learn. So one of the things I started doing, I actually started in 2010. I know because I had some challenging times in life at that point, and I wanted to make things different. So I started reading. So I wake up every day, and I woke up today at 5 a.m., and I read for 40 minutes. And
cool.
Every day.
And you know, there's a correlation between reading and succeeding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Learn to earn, I think, would be a good way of putting it if you're a tweeter out there.
Well, and then I can help people, right? I have stuff, you know, my stuff is kind of interesting, but if I can ask questions about what somebody else is doing and then give some maybe different insights that I've learned about through other people and then can share books. I share books all the time. And you become more intriguing, but it's not you. It's about the book.
Correct.
And then, yeah.
But you're the messenger. And
right.
It's amazing what it will do in terms of endearment, especially if it hits the other person in the heart.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. And, you know, you have a family and you're entrenched in the city and you're trying to make a name for yourself, a better name for yourself in the city. I have a feeling that you're involved in this, but it's sort of a stepping stone for something bigger.
Well, I'm doing a lot of things. So, you know, I want to serve people. Mm-hmm. I know people say that, and you're selling at my funeral eventually. There's not going to be people at my casket saying, I remember when he closed that loan for me. No, they don't give a shit. They don't care that I closed a loan. But when I help somebody with their business.
Well, if they don't care, come over here. I'll be great.
But you're right.
It's about our giving.
Right. And so I'm doing things like that. The other thing I'm working with is Devo Tyndall, who's on Instagram. He's at Fusion Photog. And then we've actually working with People of CLT, which is people of CLT.com. And basically what we're doing is highlighting people in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Going out and we've interviewed you and other successful people just to give knowledge. And people in all walks of life, it doesn't matter how you evaluate success. But it's really this whole platform is to serve the community and get stories out about what's going on.
So I did the interview, and I will tell you that it's interesting to have to talk about yourself for a while. Because most of the time I'm talking about it or how to – I don't often go into my own stuff.
Yeah, but your stories are great, which is why from knowing you last, I think we've almost 4 years now, your stories are awesome and people need to hear them. And they typically hear you from a sales perspective. You're giving, you're serving, right? But your stories are hilarious.
Should hear about my sales calls in New York City, yeah. I don't think I can actually write about that without too many swear words in it. But there is definitely a challenge to the city. There's definitely a fun to the city. This is a great place to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you're only an hour from Manhattan if you get on an airplane.
Right, yeah.
So what's next?
So
are you going to take this, you know, I'm assuming the photographer is I am Devo rather than we are Devo. Is that Is that his statement?
I don't know what his statement. I'll let him give his own statements.
I am Devo. I think that should be the...
fusion photography.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where we're going with all of this is, as somebody in sales and you know, reading your literature and just knowing you, you know, people can sniff out if it's self-serving. People mm-hmm. can sniff out if you're just trying to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
And so my idea with reading is just to give knowledge. You know, I'll read a book, like it, buy 10 copies, just hand them out to people. Doesn't matter if it comes back to me or not in any form. When I'm working with people to try to help them, at PNC Bank right now, and I'll just teach them whether they I give them a loan or don't give them a loan. I just want to teach them. And mm-hmm. so that's the way I live my life. With people of Charlotte, it's the same thing. We're going to interview people. If it comes back to us, fine. If it just serves the community, that's fine also.
If you do it long enough, it'll come back.
Right. I believe that. Yeah. But it's a long-term play, right? It's not a short – all of this stuff.
It's a long-term play, but it's a Charlotte play. And if you're going to be here for the long term – people – when I first moved here and I started making sales calls, you know what people ask me more than anything?
What's that?
How long have you lived in Charlotte?
Yeah.
And that – now I can say 30 years, but at the time I had to say 6 months.
It is funny now that you
and they
say
would
that.
Say, and they would say, well, when you've been here for a year or two, come back and see me. Literally.
That'd be a fair question.
Yeah.
Based upon what a
totally fair question.
City. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What I'm hoping for is that we will continue our friendship, but also that we will use each other as a role model to say, well, I think that's something I would like to do. I think that's something that we should do. I've already been through the interview process. Maybe we'll get through the next process, whatever that is, or I can bring you a few people that I think you should interview that are very influential in the city but very unknown.
Yeah, that's the way we like the organic growth to be, right, where we're not trying to control it. I'm fascinated with the social media and sales. You're kind of ahead of the curve with the success of your podcast and a lot of the things that you're doing on social media. So I'm just watching this just as an observer. I use LinkedIn a lot to find people names so I can call up or meet people and use my network. But just watching this, you have to be on social media.
You have no choice.
Right. I remember you came into a meeting that I was in and you were presenting and you said, I looked at everyone's social media, more than half the people here, profiles and presence is substandard.
Right. And, unacceptable.
Yeah. And my company that I was with at the time still didn't do anything about it.
Right. Not going to mention any names.
No, but you were crystal clear. I thought about that though.
Rhymes with Yadkin.
I thought about that though, and so I've since then, you know, try to do a much better job at it. But I also realize with social media, it's just you got to let the people determine what's good and what's not good, and they'll tell you by your viewership, they'll tell you by comments, likes. But I just think it's a cool thing.
You have the product, Andrew. You have the product. Everybody wants what you have. Money.
Yeah.
You have money. Like, you go into a customer and you say, you take those Sacagawea dollars that you have in bags in the vault that you can't give away, and you say to the front desk person, hi, my name's Andrew. This is a sample of our product. If you could bring it back to the boss, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Right.
Tons of this at the bank.
Yeah.
And you'll get in. Or like, hi, I'm Andrew. Here's my brochure. That's the sound of a shredder.
That is the problem, though, right? It's not a problem. It's a great situation to have, but that's the disconnect. Is the banker is looking at it? They're trying to sell so hard, and they're not. I look at banking and the people as you're basically a translator. It's all that dumb bank jargon, all the financials. You know, tax returns are done so you can avoid taxes in most cases.
And people go, well, you didn't earn enough money. Like, no, dude, I hit it.
I know, and I have to tell sometimes.
Well, I feel like, as a business person, I want to pay my rent to live in America. And I don't cheat on my tax return. I am frugal about it. I don't want to pay more taxes than I owe.
I don't blame
but
you.
I'm not going to hide anything because eventually it comes back to haunt you.
Right. So then if the relationship is good with communication, like I'll tell people that I know, and you'll have to do this for people's ego, but I know you're much wealthier than me. I know that you could buy me 10 times over. The way you did your taxes we cannot give you money. Now, if we work with your CPA,
yeah,
we can tell you where it needs to be and we can help you out. But if you just like what you started off with, if you walk away and somebody just says decline and you walked off pissed off, well, no one wins in that situation.
It's much easier to say no, though, if you're a bank. You don't have to.
I think you're doing a real disservice if you just walk away with a no.
If you say yes, you're taking a risk. And most banks are risk averse.
That is true. See, you've dealt with banks.
Way too many times.
Right. And so you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Right.
My first business bank loan in New Jersey, the payment was due on a Friday, but I couldn't pay till Monday. And I went to the bank, the vice president that gave me the loan, I said, listen, I really feel bad, but is it okay if I pay you Monday? And the guy says, are you kidding me? Get the hell out of here. He's fine.
Isn't that great,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, but I was nervous as a young entrepreneur.
But that's the way it was. I was at this bank here in Charlotte, and they talk about good old boy loans, where one guy, and this is a story, true story, I know the banker, he's now retired, but one of the clients of his came in and said, I want to pay off the loan, and the teller was looking for it. She said, I can't find your loan or your paperwork or anything, and the guy her banker had gone fishing, and he never gave him the paperwork, so he let the money out of the bank with no documentation filed at all. They didn't have any interest on the loan, but literally used to be handshake loans were given.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And now, not so much.
There was a time when I first moved to Charlotte, maybe in my first 10 years here, First Union merged with Wachovia. Remember that merger?
Oh, yeah.
And there was about 5,000 people in the mergers. They hated each other.
Yeah.
And everyone was guarding their desk.
So I was in Wachovia after the merger, and they had this dumb thing that everyone said. I would never say it to their face, but they would say Legacy Blue or Legacy Green.
Oh, my God.
In the company. And still people to this day that have worked for one of those banks will say I'm legacy.
I called my banker at First Citizens. I said, William, everyone is guarding their desk at First Union in Wachovia. No one's guarding their customers.
That's the truth.
And you know what he said? Please don't tell them.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
And they went out and had a field day.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that bankers look for safety, and there's no safety anywhere now.
Right.
If you used to be had a job at a bank, you could stay there for 25 years and retire with a gold watch and a pension of some kind. And now it's like a 3-year deal and you're out if you don't make your number.
It is highly competitive. And it is to your point, you mentioned sales driven, and most people don't know that, which I feel bad. A lot of people come in the bank and it's almost like a public office where they want education. And they don't realize they're just being sold the whole time. They're not getting the education that they need.
I don't disagree with you at all. And if bankers were more helpful to customers instead of more sales-minded to customers, they might make more sales.
100%.
So I'm going to have you back to report on your new job. But the requirement is you bring a bag of money.
All right.
We'll put it on the table here and we'll talk to people about why money is good.
All right.
And Andrew, it has been a pleasure to have you on Sell or Die. We will look forward to more banking information, more Charlotte information, and to hear more about your success.
Thanks,
Way to
Jeffrey.
Go.
Yeah, appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Pleasure. So Andrew's my money man. I want money from Andrew because he wants to build a relationship, and he wants to show me how to qualify. That's pretty cool.
So I had the worst banking experience. I feel like people can relate to this because everyone's had a bad banking experience at one point, I think. And it was like the day before I was leaving for an international trip, and my bank called me, and they said, hi. You don't know me because your banker left and I'm the new banker that's taken his place. And we're about to bounce all of your checks if you don't get the right documentation in. And I was like, well, what do you mean? What documentation do you need? And they list all the documents you normally submit when you open an account, which I had submitted when I opened the account. And I never write checks. I hate checks. I usually just pay online. But it just so happened that week I wrote like 6 checks. So now I'm freaking out because I'm leaving the next day. And I'm like, what? Check the guy's emails. Like, I submitted all this information. So I was so mad, got the manager involved. I really gave it to them. I went like New York on them. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. That's all
Thank
I'm going to say.
Thank God you didn't go Jersey.
And then I knew immediately for them. So I knew immediately I needed a banker. I needed a real relationship with someone who wasn't just going to be transient and just leave 3 months after getting the job. And I happened to, when I got back from my trip, I met this guy, Darren Kay, at a networking event. And he just seemed like a real person, not just a banker, like a good banker, you know, knowledgeable, trustworthy, that kind of thing. But like a real, he genuinely wanted to know how he could help my business.
Oh, cool.
And we went to lunch and I was like, I said, okay, I'm going to move my account. And then literally the course of, I don't even know how long, we'll have to ask Darren because I'm sure he knows, but 3 to 6 months go by with Darren persistently and consistently following up with me. Now, you know I wanted to change banks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just wasn't like the most pressing thing at that moment anymore.
Right.
And finally, he was so, like, from a sales perspective of follow-up and follow-through and providing value and inviting me to networking events and giving me articles that could help me with my business and really being a great advisor before I even worked with him. Finally, he's like, so, I've followed up now a bunch of times over the past couple of months. If you don't want to work with me, it's okay. Just tell me. I'm like, no, don't go anywhere.
He took it away.
No,
I love that.
No, I
Here's
do.
A guy
I really do.
Who read the Little Black Book of Connections and the Sales Bible and executed it to perfection.
Like,
on
don't,
you.
Where are you going? I do. I swear I do want to work with you. And so, you know, it's just a pain in the ass to switch all your documents and everything and all your pays, you know, auto pays and stuff like that. So I switched. At the second he was like pulling back, I was like, no, don't go anywhere. And it was the best banking decision I have ever made. And then after we were working together for about a year or two, he called me up to say, hey, Jen, I'm leaving my bank. And I understand if you want to stay there because all your stuff is there. And I said, Darren, I have no idea where I bank. I don't bank with a bank. I bank with you.
Right. That the National Bank
wherever
of Darren.
Wherever you are.
The first
are
National
is,
Bank.
Wherever you are is where I bank.
Right.
And I am, and like he made it seamless and he transitioned my stuff. And I don't deal with ATMs and all that kind of bullshit. Like I don't, you know, go to a bank to submit checks. Like, I just have everything mailed to him. He's amazing.
So here's the deal, diehards. Understand that every bank has exactly the same product. They deal in money. And it all looks the same. It all smells the same. It's all worth the same. So the human factor and the service factor are what plays the major role in how that person is accepted and bought.
Mm-hmm.
Bankers don't sell themselves. They don't know how to, they couldn't sell themselves out of a wet paper bag. They're basically logical people sitting there and didn't get into banking to get into sales. I can promise you that. But people like Darren, who are basically assertive business people, they know how to go out and get and attract and earn business.
And here's the thing. I'm a small guy for him, right? Like he has like pretty big businesses that he works with. And yet he formed a relationship with me and knew he could help me and saw the long-term potential and growth potential of my business. And he believed in me. And I really appreciated all those things. Like, so if whatever you're selling, you have to be able to form that kind of relationship where the person feels like they can trust you and that they see, like, I will never, for as long as Darren is in banking, I will never switch.
And he knows you're a pain in the ass.
Oh, I'm the biggest pain in the ass customer. Come on.
Right. So he's willing to deal with that for future business, for referrals and all the other things
course.
That go with it. Yeah. But and she's not really a pain in the ass, but she's can be difficult at times. I'll just put it that way.
But he's given me such valid and such genuine business advice that I mean, he's part of my inner circle of trusted advisors.
So if you understand the fact that money is the commodity that they deal, literally, it is a commodity. It's traded every day on the world marketplace. It's worth so many cents per euro, so many cents per peso. What you have to understand is the level of perceived value and service and differentiation are what causes you to go from one bank to the next. Okay, so I want to thank everybody for listening to a money show.
I just want to analyze one thing for a second. As I was telling that story,
yeah,
how many of you diehards would have given up? Think about that. How many of you would have given up
after
over the course? Yeah, I mean, like, and now I have a lifelong relationship with this guy, and I'm telling you guys to use him because he's great. Like, think about how many times you've given up too soon. And what could happen if you are more persistent?
So Darren's will be in the show notes.
We have to get him. We have to get him on this show.
Agreed.
He has to talk about how he creates relationships.
So are you guys coming to Chicago on September 24th? Or are you going to buy some tickets for Philadelphia? By the way, Philadelphia Eagles want to know. are you buying tickets for Are you buying tickets for Dallas? A lot of people are, by the way.
Yeah,
a lot of Dallas. And Atlanta. We're going to be around until the end of the year. I would love to see all of you. Jen will be there. We're going to do a podcast. It's going to be a total amount of fun.
We are going to have so much fun.
Oh,
and I hope you're there. Listen, like, this is going to be a small, like, for a lot of these people who are diehards, this is going to be a Cellar Dive meetup. Right? Like, literally, you're going to bond with other people who listen to us as well. Why wouldn't you show up?
Yeah, this is it's like a deadhead thing. You know what I mean? You come to the thing and you can't smoke dope in there, but you can, like, you can bring your business cards.
But you know what? Maybe we should have a special session. We can think about this for next year.
Where we
for
do?
Diehards.
Oh.
Not a special for dope smokers.
No,
for diehards. No. Diehards. Diehards.
So that's where we're at. You know, Friday is going to be best of. You need to be able to access the Sell or Die best of on Friday. It's our best stuff of the week,
mm-hmm.
edited down by Nada. Is that correct?
Oh,
Nada
yeah.
Nada is our best of guy.
Nada works his butt off to have us go out 5 days a week. So let's all give Nada a round of applause.
I agree. And Jenny, I think it's time for us to say goodbye.
All right.
See you Motivation Monday.
Au revoir. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true Sell or Diehard, and we thank you.